Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. It's Wednesday. It's the night we get to gather together to do Bible study at 7 p.m. And we'd like to extend an invitation to you. Right now, we are studying the book of Exodus. Friend of ours we had on the program here a few months ago, Julie West, she has written a book called Exiting Egypt, and a lot of profound, thought-provoking focuses throughout the book of Exodus that have real-life implication. And so that's what we are going through on Wednesday night. We'd love for you to come. Listen, you didn't get here for the first part of it. That doesn't mean that you would miss out on. This is not something that's like when you went to school and you had prerequisites, like you had to take this before you were able to get the next thing. These are truths that pretty much stand on their own merit. They're not necessarily building. All of them are tremendous insights. But if you hadn't been a part of it and say, well, you know, I'm already late to the party, don't worry about that. Come and benefit from it as much as you can. Wednesday night, tonight, 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. We would love to see you there. So today we are returning to the book of John. We are studying the foundation of love that manifests during the time where Jesus goes and raises Lazarus from the dead. Okay. It is impossible to separate the things that Jesus does from the foundation of love that motivates God in everything that he does. So let's look at John chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9. And we'll read down to verse number 14. We may not read the entire chapter here, but we'll focus on these verses for now. We may skip down and focus on some other portions after we get done here. But John chapter 11, verse number 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." So yesterday we had talked about that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved him even though things were not perfect with him physically. He was sick. It was actually going to lead to him dying. He was dead 4 days before Jesus raised him from the dead. And many people don't fully appreciate the fact that God loves us even when we are facing challenges. I remember back in when I was much younger, someone telling me, well, when I get this straightened out, then I'll come to church. I want you to know that that is a statement that sounds really good, but it's actually backwards. Listen, Jesus is the one that comes and cleans us up. It's not, he's waiting for us to clean ourselves up before we come to him. He came to us when we were hostile against him. In verse number 4, we see that Jesus, because of his love, was focused on the result that the Son of God, Jesus, was going to be glorified in the situation. And so the love that God has for us will take us through challenging seasons, but the ultimate result is that Jesus is going to be glorified. Then we concluded on yesterday's program talking about that Jesus was willing to go to where the person that he loved, Lazarus and Martha and Mary, he went there in spite of the risk. So love is greater than risk. And so I'm very, very thankful for that love that God has for us. And he came and took on flesh, went to the cross, knowing the risks and knowing the realities that he was going to die on the cross, but also knowing the reality that he was going to be raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and we're very thankful for that. So let's look at what it says here. So Jesus is still talking to his disciples. He's not even made his way to where Martha and Mary are yet. He's not made his way to Bethany where Lazarus is buried. But he says to them in verse number 11, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. The thing that I wanted to share with you here is that the love that motivated Jesus and should motivate us is that, when God is directing us and giving us love for a person in a difficult situation, the result should be that we make the situation better, not that we make it worse. So I was just reading through the book of Job here in my personal devotions in the past month or so. And the one thing that I had always noticed is that the people who came to Job were people that weren't related to him, but they came as comforters. The problem was that after they had sat there for a while, and Job was still suffering, they transitioned from comforters to confronters. And in doing so, they made the situation worse rather than making it better. And that's never what we're supposed to do. When we show up on the scene, because of love for God and love for the people who are going through challenging seasons, we should be there so that we make the situation better. In this case, Jesus said, I go that I may wake him up. He wasn't, you know, going to be his spiritual alarm clock. It wasn't that he was just in a sound sleep. He was dead. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because in verse 14, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. Jesus never guesses. He knows the situation. But when he shows up on the scene, he as the resurrection and the life, has more power than death, and he has the ability to raise him up, wake him up. He has the ability to make the situation better. He's there to improve the situation. So let's remember we're supposed to be encouragers, not discouragers. We're supposed to be pointing people to Jesus, not putting up barriers to Jesus. We're supposed to be comforters, not confronters. If I can, you know, be vulnerable with you, when I read through the book of Job this time, it's not like the first time I've ever read it, but there was something as when I was reading through chapter 41, chapter 42, I think this was primarily chapter 42, there was something that struck me that I don't recall ever having highlighted before. You know, sometimes when you get close to the end of the book, you get your sight on finishing, not focusing on every little detail. But he had family that they didn't show up until after Job had been going through everything he had been going through, all of the loss he had had with family and property, the loss of health. It wasn't until after he's been saying things like, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul, enduring these verbal assaults, that it says his family showed up, his siblings showed up. They showed up after the conversation with God. They showed up after God had commanded Job's comforters to have Job pray for them. But there were people came. The problem wasn't that they came. The problem was they were late to the party. You know, I think that the body of Christ should be first responders to challenges in people's lives, not the last responders. So let's make sure that we love the people in our lives in a very active manner so that we improve their situation, not wait until their situation improves and say, hey, we believed in you all along. So anyway, just moving on now. Verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Let me go up one more verse, verse number 13. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. When I was reading that as I was preparing to come in here, I wonder how many times Jesus is speaking to us and we think he's saying one thing, but he's actually got something much more profound in mind. And so we need to ask God the Holy Spirit to help us in our understanding so that we are mature in our wisdom that comes from heaven, and we understand the things. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of all the things I said. He will guide you into all truth. So let's make sure that we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us exactly what God's word means for us to understand. So I read verse 14, verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. So Jesus loves us even when we're less than perfect, when we're going through challenges. The result is that Jesus loves us because it's going to bring glory to the Son of God. He loves us in spite of the risk. He loves us to improve our situation. And he also loves us in a very present manner. Up until this point in time, Jesus is in one geographical location, And Lazarus and Martha and Mary are in a different location. And Jesus said, I'm going to him. God has always and will always be the initiator in establishing relationship with humanity. He's the one who speaks. He's the one who came. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that sends messengers. He's the one that raised from the dead. He's the one that sends the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gives us the written word of God so we understand the living word of God. And he doesn't just, stay at a distance. I've told you about that, song, God is watching us from a distance. It sounds so, beautiful, beautiful music, lousy lyrics. God is not a God who stays away from people and watches as they suffer helplessly. Instead, he is the God who comes and transforms the situation. In verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. In another translation, it says, and the God of all glory will himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you and cause you to be established and to prosper. And just like he did for Lazarus, just like he has done throughout all of the written word, God comes to us at our point of need and is very present. He is the ever-present one. He is the one who is always accessible, always present to help us in our time of need. And so there's another point that's revealed in this 15th verse here. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But Jesus says, nevertheless, let us go to him. I want to remind you that shepherds lead sheep. Sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd. And here, Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to where Lazarus is, and I'm not going alone. You're going with me. And it should be remembered that the Great Commission is always go. We're supposed to be people who are on the move. We are supposed to be people who are moved to help people in their time of need to bring glory and honor to Jesus. And if you are feeling isolated, I want you to know that Jesus is right there. He is one breath, one prayer away. You are not called to go through life alone. He's with you. And the love of God is not on a ration system. It's not experiencing a supply chain disruption. It is available. And so if you're listening today and maybe you can't get to where you want to be, you might be in a care facility. You might be in the hospital. You might be shut in at home. And I want you to know, when one of the things I pray for people whenever I go to visit them in the hospital, which is something that I do as a pastor of the church, is I pray this: God, I pray that your presence would fill this hospital room. I pray that your presence would come in, and this would not be a place of discouragement. It'd be a place of encouragement. It would be a place of healing. But most of all, it would be a place of your presence where people are ministered to in their spirit. And Lord, I pray that it would be even so tangible that when the medical team comes in, that they would experience the presence and the joy of the Lord. I watched a video about a person from a church, and they were going through a very long, lengthy battle, and they decided to start a ministry while they were going through that, to minister to other people who were going through similar situations. And in the midst of all of that ministry, it impacted the caregivers, the medical team, to the point that it made a noticeable difference on the staff and the doctors, because that person said, if I'm sick, if I'm going through this trial, I want to make sure that Jesus is here ministering to the people who are going through this trial. I know where I'm going. I want to make sure that they know where they're going as well. And so, as you are, as you may be facing challenges, please understand that God is right there with you. He's present. You may not have people around you, but you will never have to fail, never fail to have access to God, who is right there with you. So, let me begin to read in verse number 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe in this? In verse number 22, Jesus makes a declaration. It's just a statement of fact. He said, your brother will rise again. Love sees the result of what God is going to do. It is not just the result that Jesus is glorified, but God ministers, Jesus ministers in such a way that it is going to have a profoundly different result than what the enemy had planned. Was going through a very difficult season, praying for a person, and was doing manual labor at the same time. I was actually working on a tree stump, trying to grind it down. We had had a person that had a vehicle that bottomed out over this tree stump, and I said, well, let's take care of that to where we don't have that happen again. And as I was doing that, God spoke to me during that labor-intensive process and birthed in me this prayer. God, I pray that that person comes back to you. And Lord, I pray that when they do, they come back so on fire for God that the devil will regret that he ever tried to lead them astray. And I will tell you, God's never going to have you pray a prayer. He's never going to birth a prayer in you that he's not going to be able to bring to pass. And so he says, your brother will rise again. The great news for believers is death does not get the last word. The truth of the matter is, that, you know, God is going to raise people up in the last day, but he is the resurrection right now. I always take time to read articles that show up on national news sites or international news sites when it talks about people who were declared to be dead, who were in the morgue, people who've actually been planning funerals already because the people have been dead, and then all of a sudden they come back to life. You see, God still does supernatural things. Supernatural is natural for God. It's only supernatural from our perspective. It's not supernatural from his perspective. It's just God being God. So God doesn't look upon the situation as it is. He looks at it and says, this is what the result is going to be. Gideon, you may be exhibiting the traits of a very desperate, hungry man right now, not wanting to engage the enemy, not wanting to draw attention to yourself, but you're going to be a mighty man of valor. And I'm so thankful that God knows the beginning and he knows the end. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. The love of God causes us to believe in Jesus. Because he loves us, he acts in such a way, he speaks in such a way, he loves in such a way that you can believe him. You see, everybody believes something. They either believe for something or they believe against something. And I can tell you that the Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. I have come to the place where I believe God more than what my eyes see, more than what my ears hear, more than what my heart feels. I've come to believe in the Word of God and the God of his Word. And when he says it, I'm just waiting for reality to catch up to the promise. I'm not hoping that someday the promise is going to, you know, suddenly, you know, move from good words to something. I know that when God said, let there be light, all of a sudden there was light. And, you know, I like what a pastor I knew said. He said, a lot of people are guilty of making the Bible the most exciting book in the world, the most boring book in the world. He said, they read it and say, let there be light. He said, I read it and it says, let there be light, and bam, there it was. God sees the result. I pray today that you will believe he's going to bring about a result that is going to change your reality. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.